Finally, this hour, we have an appreciation of Oscar-winning actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. He was found dead yesterday in his New York apartment, just 46 years old and at the peak of his craft. Critic Bob Mondello says Hoffman was the sort of everyman audiences thought they knew, even when they didn't.
I'm struck in retrospect by how often the lines that stick with me from Philip Seymour Hoffman's performances are about appearances. So many of his characters talk about being not really attractive or impressive. The rock critic he played in Almost Famous, for instance, giving advice to a younger writer in whom he saw flashes of himself.
Because we are uncool. While women will always be a problem for guys like us, most of the great art in the world is about that very problem. Good-looking people, they got no spine. Their art never lasts. Then they get the girls. But we're smarter.
Yeah, I can really see that now.
Yeah, because great art is about, you know, guilt and longing and, you know, love disguises sex and sex disguises love.
I'm glad you were home.
I'm always home. I'm uncool.
Off-screen, Hoffman did have a cool factor. No actor of his generation was more respected for getting under the skin of characters who were flawed, lonely, humiliated, and who consequently reminded audiences of themselves, from his Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman on Broadway to his furiously aggrieved CIA agent in Charlie Wilson's War.
Promises were made.
Not by me.
I've been with the company for 24 years. I was posted in Greece for 15. I've advised and armed the Hellenic army. I've neutralized champions of communism. I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish, which should come in handy here in Virginia, and I'm never ever sick at sea. So I want to know why I'm not going to be your Helsinki station chief.
Your course.
Excuse me.
Course, yes, and rumpled, shaggy, a lumbering bear of a man. Hoffman didn't look like anyone's idea of a movie star, doughy and soft-featured even when he managed to lose weight for a part. He complained to an interviewer once that the press never described him in ways that made him sound attractive. I'm waiting, he said, for somebody to say I'm at least cute. But nobody has. In Capote, he transformed himself, voice thin and high, gestures fey. But as showy as those changes were, Hoffman was still playing a man all too aware that he would never fit in.
Maybe since I was a child, folks have thought they had me pegged because of the way I am. You know, the way I talk. And they're always wrong.
We were wrong about Philip Seymour Hoffman, too, or at least I was. Somehow I'd never registered that he had a substance abuse problem, though as I look at what's been written about him in the last day or so, I'm suddenly aware that he made no secret of it. But he'd founded a theater company, directed plays, and appeared in more than 50 movies in 23 years, getting so persuasively inside the heads of characters who were variously high-maintenance, high-functioning, and just plain high, that I assumed he himself must have been centered and sober. And perhaps he was, or perhaps you don't get that good at communicating insecurity and self-doubt without knowing a little something about those things. All actors observe and absorb and use things they see in others. Hoffman's performances, though, didn't feel observed. They felt lived. And in my head, even now, I'm conflating them with him. Say the character he played in Magnolia.
I know that I might sound ridiculous, like this is the scene of the movie where the guy's trying to get a hold of the long-lost son, you know, but this is that scene. This is that scene. And I think they have those scenes in movies because they're true.
Which makes me wish I could tell him, Mr. Hoffman, you are so much more than cute. All any of us can do now, though, is say it to the screen. I'm Bob Mondello.
See, this is the scene of the movie where you help me out.